And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And I am early, which means that maybe some of Captain Joe's people are sleeping in. And therefore, they are not going to catch my pontifications from the captain's chair. But the reason that I'm early today is because this is Give Big. And during Give Big, I come to all of you, all of Captain Joe's people, and give you the opportunity to be a contributor to whatever is your particular do-good of your do-good of choice. Mine, of course, is Voice of Vashon. And I have the executive director of Voice of Vashon, who is about ready to sit down next to me, right across from me. And as I have said before many times, and you will hear me say it again, my whole life I have been surrounded by strong and beautiful women. And Kate is right across from me, and she fulfills both of those requirements. And along with her, wait a second here, what mic number is this one that Rick is on?
He's green, I think. Yep.
There we go. Okay. So we've also got the chair of the Voice of Vashon board, and he is also sitting across from me. And although he is a strong personality, he sure as hell isn't beautiful.
That's right. I was hoping you didn't go there, but a face made for radio.
So since Rick, since you are the, as I understand it, you are still the chairman of the board.
Yeah, I'm president of the board. Yes,
president of the board.
Yeah, I was dragooned about almost 5 years, 6 years ago. So.
And you and I are chili mates.
Yes, that's right. We competed in the Voice of Vashon chili contest and had great success, although I think someone stuffed the ballot box for Leah Lira.
They did indeed. And if there was ever a violation of voting rights, that particular activity was it.
I think
it was stolen.
I think that my level of corruption was not high enough in stuffing my own pot. So,
and I was almost certain that I was going to win, and my level of corruption is absolutely zero. It's down in the minus level. So, before we get into a little bit of discussion of Voice of Vashon, I want to have Kate come on and make sure that she is live on the mic. So. And she is wearing a Voice of Vashon Skivvy shirt.
I am. This is my favorite. I've got a gray one. I've got a white one. I've got a navy one. It's all I wear, really. No, it's not. That's what I'm wearing.
Okay, so as I remarked in my opening remarks, I've been surrounded my whole life by beautiful and strong women. But I'm compelled at this point to ask Kate why. What is the story on the hair arrangement?
Oh my god!
The hair arrangement for this morning.
I got up really early. Oh my gosh! And I've been doing live streams with this hair, so I'm gonna have to go back and edit out my face and just have the voice, because right now I have hair for radio.
Is that hair for? Is that what you call it?
It's hair for radio, not hair for video.
And it's a good thing too, because we don't have the cameras turned on.
Whew!
So. Before we get into a discussion of Voice of Vashon and what Give Big is all about, it is my custom, as you know, to always make a donation whenever I do a program for any organization that comes and is part of From the Captain's Chair. So here we go. Here is yours for today. And I'm also going to mention this again to I'm also going to mention this in my next half hour. And that is, the mention is this. From the Captain's Chair is one of those broadcasts. And I want to see nods of affirmation, to say nothing of cheering, and I want to see the parade, the elephants and the giraffes marching up and down Vashon Highway.
Oh, look, here they come.
Yes, here they come, Rick. That's so that this is one of the programs that is that we can count on being generous to keep Captain Joe from the captain's chair on the air. And so I am reminding all hands out there, all of Captain Joe's people, that should you feel compelled to be a part of Give Big, then I'm going to ask you, Kate, not Rick, because he probably doesn't know the answer to this question, because he sits way much higher than all of us who are either producing or who are paid employees. He sits way up there along with the chili producers. I'm going to ask you how people can donate to Voice of Vashon for Give Big. Over to you.
Excellent. So you can go right now to voiceofvashon.org and click on the big button that says Give Big. And there's also a donate button at the top. So there's a couple of ways to do it. And we would be thrilled. And thank you so much for your donation, Captain Joe. You are always amazing. And your show is a very highly rated show, as you know, I'm sure you do. We get so many comments from literally across the world about Captain Joe's show. And this is just one of many of the shows that is offered by our community members for, you know, global, worldwide broadcast. And it's pretty special to have our own radio, TV, and emergency alert system. And that's what Voice of Vashon does and provides for the community. Shows like this, great music, emergency alerts, and you know, information regarding other nonprofits like we're doing today. And this is my favorite event. I love Give Big. I love inviting the nonprofits in to tell their stories. And I always learn something new. So really, really special. And I'm so glad that you're here hosting with us.
So, Rick, I know that you have been the president of the board for, I did not know it was for 5 years. Is there not some sort of term limits where
I think you're, where you're... I have been bringing up the subject of officer successions planning for a couple of years now. But the fact is we have a really excellent board. The people who have been kind enough to serve on our board, some of them are producers, many of them are, but many of them are not as well. But everybody contributes a lot. You know, we have technical support, we have financial issues support, we have planning, we have hard work, we have people willing to give money. It's a working board, and I have nothing but the highest admiration for the people who serve on the Voice of Vashon board. But I wanted to drop in a compliment for you too, Captain Joe. I listen in to your show very often. I don't always listen, but whenever I can find it, I listen to it. And I found it when I was in Antarctica in January. I was listening to your show from the waters of Antarctica, and I thought, you might have been down in the Antarctic Ocean sometime in your long career. And to see those beautiful icebergs and those beautiful bergy bits and the huge ice cliffs on a beautiful day. It was just sparkling clear day. It was fantastic. I thought of you cruising those waters.
Well, in fact, Rick, I have, because I was the captain of one of our polar icebreakers and broke the ice into the U.S. base at McMurdo. So when you were down there, were you on the peninsula side?
Yes.
And in your exploration of the peninsula side, were you aware that there is a glacier, the Wubold Glacier? And if you are on the peninsula side, you could go to the Wubold Glacier, and I expect that it probably is not on the itinerary of any of the particular cruise ships. Which one did you sail in?
The Viking Octantis.
Ah, yes.
Very, very nice, very new, very modern, very technologically advanced ship.
And is part of the Viking fleet.
Yes.
Yes, anything that the Viking people do is almost always very high quality. And
I also thought of you when we were going through the Drake Passage.
Yes.
And I was looking out at seas that were about 25 feet high.
Yep.
And I saw the second mate. He came out of the wheelhouse, and I said, how many times have you crossed the Drake Passage? And he said, oh, I lost count at about 100. And I said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are these seas we're seeing here like in terms of roughness? He says, these? Oh, these are nothing to worry about. These are a 1 or a 2. So a 25-foot sea was a 1 or 2 out of 10.
Whoa.
I can imagine you've seen some pretty high seas in that zone, too.
The Drake Passage, in fact, is one of the worst stretches of water in the world. So I'm not going to ask you whether you got sick. I'm not going to ask you whether you got slammed around, because the Viking ships are not the largest ships that go down there. So, but I am delighted that you went, and I am not only delighted that you went, but it sounds like you had a wonderful experience.
Yes, I did not get in the kayaks. I got in the Zodiacs, and I got in the what they call the special operations boat, which is a jet boat which seats 16 people. Because I did not want to be in a kayak with a stranger, two-person kayaks, where the water temperature was about 28 degrees Fahrenheit. The water temperature was so cold, and this is the warm part of the season in the warm part of Antarctica, that when the snow fell on the water, it didn't immediately melt. It gave a sort of gray, ashy look to the surface of the water. I'm thinking, that's impossible. You know, it's seawater. It's got to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cold enough not to let fresh water melt on it. It's amazing.
Yeah. There are many amazing phenomena, and I hope that the Viking people told you that Antarctica actually belongs to all of us. It belongs to all of mankind. It's protected by the Antarctic Treaty, and I hope that you had some instruction on the Antarctic Treaty, because it occupies a very special place in my heart. And the reason for that is that my director at Scott Polar Research Institute in Cambridge was one of the architects of the Antarctic Treaty, and it is because of that there is no extractive industry. Were you instructed as to how close you can get to a penguin?
We were told not to get close to the penguins or to the fur seals or to the elephant seals or anything. But I learned quickly that the animals don't get that memo.
Correct. That's exactly right. In particular, penguins, the 5-meter rule, they believe that it does not apply to them. So the lovely Kate has just gotten up and run away, which tells me that she wants to avoid my next question. But, Kate, my next question is directed to you as the executive director, and that is you referred to this particular event as being one of your favorites. What are some of the other organizations that we support for the Island Give Big?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so far today, we've spoken with Judith from RJ Kids. That kicked off the morning. Jason from Vashon Household. Lisa from Varsa. Steve and Gib from Zero Waste. Barbara from Vashon St. Vincent de Paul. VCA was Joy and Lanan. And Charlotte from Vashon Repertory Theater. So that was all just this morning in the last couple of hours. Kid you not. And so this is really cool. So Judith kicked us off with, you know what's happening at the skate park right now?
I do, yes.
Amazing
I know because
stuff.
I'm involved with the Vashon Park District.
Oh, there you go. Right. So that indoor skate park is actually quite a phenomenon in that there's not a whole lot of indoor skate parks around our area. So people will come to go to that indoor skate park. Now, when they show up the next time, holy cow. Like, there's been so much amazing work done there. And so Judith's, you know, her ask was for money for concrete, which doesn't sound very sexy, if you ask me. But when you see what they're doing over there for kids of all ages, it's remarkable. So, again, any of the organizations that came on to share their stories, you can go to their websites and donate now to help support. But I learn something new every single time I do this about the nonprofits, you know. So that's why I love this day and tomorrow.
So I need to take a break here because the Federal Communications Commission requires that we identify the station. And I did not do that when I came on. So this is Captain Joe. And I am pontificating from the captain's chair with the chair of the board of directors for Voice of Vashon, Rick, spelled R-I-K, Romeo India Kilo. And he is my chili-making buddy. And also with Kate, who is the executive director for Voice of Vashon. And we're broadcasting to you live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and a little bit unsuspecting that we were going to do it like this because we got a cancellation this morning. But your captain, never reluctant to get up and pontificate when given an open mic, is doing this with you on 101.9 on the FM band and broadcasting live, unrehearsed, and unscripted, and streaming all over the world from Singapore in one end of the world all the way to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other side of the world. And and I am doing that on voiceofvashon.org.
And I hope Toby's listening.
Well,
Toby is one of your premier listeners.
Yes.
and a generous donor to Voice of Vashon.
And indeed, I call him Alert Emeritus.
Oh.
And the reason I call him Alert Emeritus is that he was the commanding officer. He was the captain of the Coast Guard cutter Alert. And so he is no longer her captain, just as I am no longer the captain of any of the six cutters that I commanded. And so he is, to me, emeritus. But not only is he a very generous donor to the Voice of Vashon, but he is he holds the Purple Heart from Vietnam. He is, after he retired from the Coast Guard, he became a chief of police in a mid-sized town in the South. He was recently inducted into a wall that we have at the Coast Guard Academy in the Officer Candidate School because he is a graduate of the Officer Candidate School, and which these days is located in the Academy, of which I am a graduate. So not the Officer Candidate School, but the Academy. So he is a lovely man. He is a wonderful friend. He has a beautiful, beautiful wife. And periodically, something medical madness creeps up on him, and he and I get to worry about each other a little bit. We communicate mostly through the Coast Guard channel, which is the Coast Guard's, what would we call that? I don't think it's a social media. Anyway, I don't know those definitions. How about it, Rick? What would that be called? It's just a channel where Coast Guard people or people who love the Coast Guard, either because they served in it or because they're interested in it, get to tell sea stories. And none of those sea stories are ever embellished.
Not a bit.
Not a bit. So,
and the waves were cresting 80 foot high with spindrift blocking the sky.
85, because it was 85 feet from the surface of the water all the way to the top of the bridge. 85 feet.
85 right. feet.
Yeah.
And then next time I told it, maybe it'd be 87 feet. It's like a fish story. You know, the fish got bigger and bigger every time he told the story.
So my much missed Mary R. used to say, Joseph, do not ever embellish your stories. And I'd say, Mary R., I never, ever embellish any of my stories. And but some of my grandchildren would probably tell you different on that. So you've given us a little rundown. Who have I got coming up at 12:30?
You have Aaron coming in from the Burn Design Lab. And again, this organization is mind-blowing to me. I learned so much about them over the last couple of years. So I'm excited to catch up and hear what other amazing things they're doing globally around the world to provide clean cooking methods.
Yes.
It's really super incredible the amount of the amount of do-gooders we have, to use your term, on this island. So looking forward to meeting Aaron here in the next few minutes. But I did want to holler out to Rick Reed as well. So Rick Reed donated in the 11 o'clock hour, and we had a special challenge in the 11 o'clock hour that was matched. And you just doubled our money. Thank you so much.
I saw the posting on Facebook, so that's why I came with the, without
you.
Even waiting to go to the bank. I found some stash of money and I brought it in, hoping to get that double.
Wow.
To get that match.
Well,
so.
Thank you very, very much.
So are these people that are milling about out there, are they the ones that I'm going to have on with me for the...
Yes, I believe so. Oh. Unless they're just so taken with our beautiful studio.
Let me go find out. Yeah. I'll go find out, Captain Joe.
All right, Rick. Thank you. I don't like to have people milling about when we might be able to allow them to donate to the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band.
They might be out there waiting to donate.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was just saying that I haven't seen you for so long. I need more Captain Joe in my life. I mean, I hear you on the radio, yes, but seeing you in person is a very special thing. So
I always told my crew, every ship that I relieved, I always told my crew that a busy Jaktar is a happy Jaktar. And so I am very, very busy. I've got a number of do-goods that I either head up or am a part of. Do you know who Mr. Yuck is?
Mr. Yuck, yeah, he's, isn't he Tooth Decay?
He is the Poison Center.
Oh, the Poison Center. Oh, I thought he was the Tooth Decay guy. Yep, Poison Center.
Okay, so I am a member of Mr. Yuck's board with the Pacific Northwest Poison Center.
Oh, my gosh. They're amazing.
And Mr. Yuck is going to be with us in person on Low Tide Celebration, which is on Sunday, the 4th of June.
Oh, my gosh.
And you don't want to miss that.
That's so
and
fun.
And Mr. Yuck is going to be handing out stickers. And he is going to be manning the first aid tent in case anyone gets bitten or stung by jellyfish.
Ooh.
Mr. Yuck is there. He is knowledgeable of how you deal with that as a poison.
Nice.
So those are all things that I know that you don't want to miss. How about it, Rick?
Those are your next guests for you from the Burn Lab.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
Are we allowing them into the building?
I told them that they could not cough or sneeze into the mic and that... I got permission for Kate to videotape them if she wants to.
Thank
and
you.
They asked permission to videotape or take photos of this if we give permission. So
yep.
I did a little prep work for you, Joe.
All right. Did you tell them what the forbidden words are?
I did not, but I bet they'll probably stay away from them.
They look to me like staying away from those words. I'm the one that you have at risk, actually. So,
as the president of the board, I also have two radio shows. One is Back in the Stacks, and one is RESPCT. And I found that you better listen to those lyrics in either of those music shows because you might violate the wrong words there. So,
I think that that's good advice. And when you listen to me, I want you to know that I am really sensitive to the words, and I am really careful not to use any of them. I'm refreshing my recollection of them right this very minute.
Well, I will tell you something, Joe. I'm raising a young child, my grandson, who's now 7. And the other night, I asked him something, and he popped off the F-bomb at age 7.
Well, does he go to a Catholic school? Well, that's where you would normally learn those things early. I can tell you that as having grown up in the Catholic school system, that vocabulary, the holy nuns who in those days wore habits, were always themselves very circumspect about the language that they used. But once you got out on the playground. Starting at about age 6, I'd say. So I'm not at all surprised that your grandson. And I talk a lot about grandchildren on this program because I just enjoy the hell out of mine. And I hope that you are with yours.
Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody knows when we were doing the board meetings by Zoom, Caleb, who lives with us full time, would come in and be on the Zoom call. And so all my board members have kind of watched him grow up on the screen. So,
do you have a cat or cats?
We have a dog.
Does the dog ever get up on the...
It's been known to happen.
Yes, well, it's happened with my cats as well. And So here come all of these lovely people that are connected to...
Joe, I will say goodbye and thank you for doing this, and we will talk to you later. I'm going to hang around the studio a little while longer.
Okay, good. It's always a pleasure to see you and a pleasure to talk to you, and we don't get to do it often enough. So in many ways, the Voice of Vashon is a great, great thing. A number of people who have been friends of mine for many, many years and with whom I lost touch, one of 40 years, came back into my life as a result of the Voice of Vashon.
Well, thank you for all you do, Joe. Bye now.
Take care. So let's start over here. Tell me who you are and who you represent. Give me just a few words on that, because the gentleman that's sitting next to you gets his turn. And I also want to make sure that the little needles are jumping back and forth.
Well, thank you. And shout-outs to your cherished listeners on the island and across. My name is Aaron Nyakute, coming from Ghana. I represent Burn Design Lab in Ghana as the country manager and also supporting with business development across West Africa.
All right.
My name is Paul Means. I'm the executive director at Burn Design Lab.
I'm delighted that we have the gentleman sitting next to you who is one of the beneficiaries, if I get this right. So let's start off by you talking a little bit about how it works in your life.
Well, thank you very much. First off, I am not just a beneficiary. I'm also with Burn Design Lab. So I represent a segment of people that Burn Design Lab's work is impacting. And this is mostly developing countries around the world. I come from Ghana, like I said, and clean cooking is such an issue there. We have majority of the people depending on primitive ways of cooking, and the work Burn Design Lab is seeking to do is definitely very essential for the everyday person in Ghana. So, yeah, that's what I can say for starters. Basically, Burn Design Lab is, as they would put it, trying to help the world breathe easier by providing clean cooking innovation for low-income households.
Paul, why are we on the magical Isle of Vashon?
Several years ago, like maybe 12 years ago or so, Peter Scott and his wife came to Vashon and fell in love with the place. And shortly thereafter, Peter was motivated to, based on his experience in Africa, to start Burn Design Lab. And there was a great outpouring of support from the community, and a lot of people got involved, a lot of volunteers and other support. And Peter founded Burn Design Lab, and a little while later he founded Burn Manufacturing. And the two organizations now are independent. Burn Manufacturing is in Kenya, and Peter is there leading that operation, and they're making... they've made over 2 million stoves, cook stoves, for the benefit of people. So it all started on Vashon Island.
Describe in non-technical terms what it is that Peter makes, the stove.
So what...
Going to ask Aaron to describe how it's actually used in a family.
The clean cook stove, what it basically is replacing for what so many people in the world have, what we'd call campfires. Basically, they're cooking on, it's aptly called a three stone fire, with three rocks and a pot sitting on top with a campfire going underneath. And what is being manufactured now by our sort of a sister organization, Burn Manufacturing, is basically a small metal but very sophisticated cook stove for people to use in place of that three stone fire. And it still is using wood or sometimes charcoal as a fuel, but much more efficiently and much more cleanly.
So when you say sophisticated, I'm picturing in my mind essentially a small steel box with a place for a fire, and then a flat area for the utensil, but when you say sophisticated, there's obviously more to it than that.
Well, yes. In fact, some of that sophistication is not obvious. For example, selection of materials is crucial. We're always trying to develop a product that will be something that people want. So it's very attractive for the users and very efficient and very clean burning, but also very durable and as low a cost as possible. So putting those all together and optimizing those is our challenge. And so the difficulty and the work that goes into that is not always obvious from the outside.
So, Aaron, how would a family get one of these stoves? And then secondly, how would a family actually use it? Would it be on a three meals a day kind of thing? And then my third question is that I know that there are many places in the world. My family used to live in Haiti, and where wood has long since become such a precious commodity because so many trees have been cut down to make charcoal.
Yeah.
So that's a three-pronged question for you, Aaron. How would a family get one of these? Secondly, how would they use it? And third, where does the fuel supply come from? How do they get the fuel supply?
Thank you. So I want to make a distinction, like Paul already mentioned. We are Burn Design Lab, and we don't manufacture stoves directly. We don't sell stoves directly. We partner with in-country manufacturers. So I think that distinction is important to make. Our work basically is helping in-country manufacturers to improve on their manufacturing process and their design process in general. And the rest is actually up to them to disseminate or distribute the stoves. How do people get stoves? Improved stoves have become something in economies in like developing countries, it's becoming something that people really need. So people can get stoves. They could walk into a shop to buy a stove. Stoves are also distributed using vans. They are last mile distribution agents that go to very remote places to distribute stoves. If you want to get Burn Manufacturing stoves, that's something specific to Burn Manufacturing. They have their distribution systems in most of the countries that we're working as well. So that's that about how the stoves are used. The stoves are used like every other household use stove in the U.S. Mostly in developing countries, there is a stack of one, two, or three stoves to mimic how households in America will cook using a gas stove, usually like a two or three burner or more. So there is a stack of two or three stoves, and people buy charcoal stove. They also buy firewood stoves. In terms of the fuel supply, firewood is quite easy to get, but there are people who have also made a business out of it where they cut firewood and they sell to households that need this kind of fuel. Charcoal is one of the things that is on the high demand in developing countries, so people have made a business out of it. But that's also where the challenge is, because producing charcoal comes at a great deal to the environment. You have to cut so many wood from the forest to be able to produce some quantity of charcoal, and the efficiency for production is quite low. And this is really where our work comes in. Our work is to ensure efficient use of fuel, and in that case, we'll be saving the environment and the climate as well. So that's what I have to say about that.
All right, thank you. So, Paul, bring us back to the magical Isle of Vashon. It's my custom, whenever I have somebody here that is asking for money, and I do this every so often with Island Do-Goods, not just at Give Big. And so I'm doing it right now. I'm giving you a donation for the operation, and I want you to tell me and tell all of the people that listen to Captain Joe all over the world, maybe now even in Ghana.
I hope so.
Maybe now thousands of listeners in Ghana, that and you're going to tell me in a few minutes how people can get to you on the website. In fact, tell us right now, what is the website address?
It's simply burndesignlab.org.
Okay.
So basically, www.burndesignlab.org. Yeah.
So when one of Captain Joe's listeners, or actually thousands of them, will immediately go this very minute to that website, and they will want to know what the funding that they provide will, or my small but pithy donation, is going to be used for directly.
The funding that contributed to Burn Design Lab will let us proceed on some very important projects. One of the most exciting that we've embarked on is to improve the cook stoves used for making school lunches in Sierra Leone. So Sierra Leone is one of the poorest countries in the world. It's in West Africa, and there are thousands and thousands of schools there, and there are feeding programs for the students there, but these meals for the students are being cooked with an enormous pot sitting on a big campfire like we'd have a beach fire. And so it's very hazardous for the women that are cooking. It's both in terms of smoke hazard and fire hazard, and it's also incredibly inefficient. So we are partnering with a company called West Wind Energy in Sierra Leone, a native company there. It's actually a woman-run company that is already making cook stoves, but they've asked for help in the design of the institutional stove and in helping with the manufacturing process, so they can have a more efficient manufacturing of this stove. So
you have struck a very responsive chord with me, because you mentioned that some of the money that comes to you will be used in furtherance of this project for children. And I have grandchildren. I even have, and it's hard for you to believe this, looking at me, I even have several great-grandchildren. And so whenever we talk about things for the children of the world, wherever they are, wherever it's in Sierra Leone, or whether that is on the magical Isle of Vashon, that's something that is really important to me. So I'm delighted to hear your description of what some of this is going to be used for. So tell me, because most of Captain Joe's people are mariners, or they are sea-related people. Tell me a little bit, Aaron. You're from Ghana, so
from
you're
Ghana.
Not a Sierra Leonese. No. Can you tell me just a little bit about the country? Either of you, tell me a little bit about the country. In particular, what I'm interested in is where does its income come from? What is its economy? And in particular, this business of feeding children that might otherwise not have anything in the middle of the day. So that's what I want to hear about.
Yeah, so Sierra Leone is in West Africa, and not too far from Ghana, so I can relate to what Sierra Leone is like, and it's one of the low-income economies in the world. It's been saddled with plagues of various kinds. Popular among them is Ebola, the Ebola virus.
Yes.
It really ravaged the country, and it's had some lasting effects on the country. So they are building back. But our work in clean cooking in Sierra Leone, as Paul mentioned, is to help them to implement what they call the school feeding program. And why is that necessary? The school feeding program is important because most children are not able to go to school because they are not able to afford meals. Okay, going to school on an empty stomach is always going to be a difficult thing. So the government and other partners have come up with a school feeding program to be able to provide hot meals for children when they go to school. At least if they can get a hot meal, they'll be glad to go to school. But the conditions under which the cooking is done, as Paul already put it, is quite devastating. There's smoke in the kitchen, which affects the caterers, who are females, of course, and the children who come around to be served the food that they are serving. So it's such a situation. And one other thing that we have noticed that in Sierra Leone, children have to go to school with firewood. They have to actually go and gather some firewood before they go to school in the morning to take the firewood to the kitchen to be used to cook for them. What we think our intervention would do is that by providing efficient stoves, there will be need for less firewood, and it means the children will be spared the kind of burden of going to gather firewood before they go to school. It's quite a situation, and we count on the support of the community and our partners to be able to carry this project through.
Yeah, but just one clarification is Burn Design Lab is not providing the food for the school feeding program.
Right, no, I understand.
Right. Yeah, the governments and organizations like the World Food Program are providing food, but we're just working with this partner in Sierra Leone to develop a stove so that it can be cooked safely and very efficiently, for the women who are preparing the meals. So,
I think it's very interesting that as the price of admission to a classroom is that children have to come and bring their own firewood.
Yeah.
That's an arrangement which I don't think I've ever heard any place else in the world. Is water along with firewood a concern, or is Sierra Leone in a place where there is a water table? Like, our water table is right under us, right here. And so... But in many parts of Africa, water is a huge concern, and not just the availability, but the cleanliness of it so that people don't get sick. What's the situation in Sierra Leone?
The quality of water in Sierra Leone is fairly okay. They don't have a water crisis. They have other issues they are dealing with. Unemployment is one of those, and as we've mentioned, clean cooking, they have a very, I would say, undeveloped clean cooking sector. And so our intervention is not just to support one company to develop an institutional stove. We are in Sierra Leone to help them to develop their clean cooking sector in general. And this includes putting in place associations and galvanizing the support of all partners to help drive the clean cooking agenda. So... yeah, they don't have an issue with water. I don't think it's one of the main crises they are facing now.
But but you did mention that a number of other challenges, medical challenges, probably natural disasters of all sorts. Is it one of those countries that is incredibly challenged whenever a natural disaster hits them? Like my personal knowledge is Haiti, because my family lived in Haiti for a number of years, and I've been there a number of times myself, and so I know how difficult it is in that particular country, and that all sorts of other things. When an earthquake hit Haiti, then people died that. In a country that was better prepared for it, would have lived. So is Sierra Leone one of those countries that it, when a natural disaster hits, let's say a plague of locusts?
Mm.
My guess is that sort of thing happens, not just in the Bible, but in Sierra Leone.
It does. I've mentioned Ebola, which is more health related, but recently they also experienced what they call the mudslide. And it was quite a heavy one for the country. wiping away many, many families. So that's one of the natural disasters they faced recently. But like I said, most of the challenges Sierra Leone is facing is economic, because of the wars they've gone through. They've gone through a number of war situations, and there have been complications that have also come because of Ebola and COVID, of course. But most of the challenges they are facing now is economic. Sierra Leone has one of the highest inflations across the world at the moment. Food prices and prices for utilities are skyrocketing, and that's really the challenge they're facing now.
And I just want to jump in here. For our listeners, I want to say thank you so much for tuning into the Hub of Love. We're speaking with Paul. What's your last name? I'm sorry.
Means.
Paul Means and Aaron
Nyakute.
Yes, from Burn Design Labs. We are thrilled to have them here. I have a couple of questions for you. How long have you been with Burn Design Labs, been working with Burn Design?
A little over a year.
A little over a year? Awesome. And what prompted you to start working for this particular nonprofit?
Before joining Burn Design Lab, I worked with SNV, the Dutch Development Organization in Ghana, as an energy advisor. And it was on one of the exploration for partnerships that I got in touch with Paul when he visited Ghana. We spoke about Burn Design Lab and what they're doing. At the time, the focus was on getting some partnership with SNV. I later decided to visit them to see what they're doing here in Pershing. And when I came here, I was wowed. I felt it was like the right thing to do to focus on clean cooking, because coming from Ghana and Africa in general, I understand the adverse effects our cooking situation is having on our people. So I think that's more the motivation that got me to join Burn Design Lab.
Excellent. And then, Paul, how long have you been with Burn Design?
I've been with the company over 10 years.
Great. So, and what brought you to Burn Design Lab?
I had experience with installing improved cook stoves in Guatemala. Mm. And when I took an early retirement from Weyerhaeuser Company, and when I heard about this position, it was just a perfect fit. It was something I could do in my retirement, in quotes.
And
and just a wonderful opportunity to try to make a difference in the world in some area, and to meet, you know, amazing people all over the globe, such as Aaron, and we've just got amazing volunteers at Burn Design Lab, a wonderful staff. It's a great place to work. So
that's wonderful. And you work all over the globe.
Yeah, primarily we're working in Africa now in a number of countries, but we've also done work in Central America as well.
Great. Sorry, I just wanted to. Those were my little questions burning in my mind. Oh, burning! I said burning. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Get that? See what I did there? No.
Oh, carry on, Kate. Carry on. So you mentioned that you worked in Guatemala. Do you make tamales at home yourself?
No, I don't. Not usually.
Well, I asked the question because in my first marriage, my mother-in-law came from Guatemala. She came from she was first generation in this country. And one of the things that she taught me was how to make tamales in the Guatemalan style. So I'm going to ask you this question. This is a burning question. Aaron, get ready for this.
Are you sure it's not a cooking question?
It is a cooking question, okay, in fact. Okay. Yes, yes, it is.
But don't burn it.
It is a cooking question because of Burns Design Lab. What is distinctive about tamales that are made in Guatemala?
I give up.
Well, I can't tell you.
They always have an olive in them. And the other thing which is not distinctive to making tamales from Guatemala is that if you make tamales from scratch, that you start early in the day and you start drinking beer at the same time.